Today comes to us from two passages, actually, that we're looking at, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And it says in God's word, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God has distributed to everyone the measure of faith," the measure of faith. Ephesians 4, 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." We want to share a few thoughts with you on God opportunities. God opportunities. Amen. You may be seated, but speak to somebody before you take your seat. Just turn around and talk to somebody. Amen. Good morning. Yeah, yeah. Bless you, and Lord help you, and you looking all right today. Something, say something. Amen. "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord." That's how you made it. "Trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet." 222. "And can't turn around. We've come this far by faith." Say it again. "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord." Oh, we are trusting in his holy word. Oh, he never failed me yet. "And can't turn around. We've come this far by faith." Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have. We got up this morning. You gave us health and strength, and we're here to know more about you and know more about your word. Help us to take advantage of it, but more importantly, help us to apply what we've learned, that God, we might be doers of your word. Thank you for everyone that's joining with us today. We pray that you would bless them, even those that will be listening over the airways. We pray that you would bless them and help them to understand and embrace the truth, that the truth would set them free. We pray this in Jesus' awesome name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. What is a God opportunity? What is a God opportunity? More importantly, what's keeping us from these opportunities that God would bring our way that we might glorify him? As we look at this, we want to reflect on where we've been in our study over the last couple of weeks. We have talked about the priorities in life. Now, it's time that has been given to you as a gift. You can use it, or you can lose it. And there are a lot of people that are following faulty things, thinking they're doing what's right. As a matter of fact, April is coming up, and it'll be a holiday for some people, April 1st, because there are a lot of people that assume that if they do the same thing, they're going to come up with different results. That is the definition of a fool. So we certainly want to be wise. We want to be discerning. We want to take advantage of these things. And so we must live our lives based on priorities. When you get up in the morning, you got to focus on what's really important. What's really important. Don't try to be perfect, because you're not. Try to do what you're supposed to, and I believe it'll take care of this quest for perfection. So as we look at our priorities, number one, we've got to do what's right. You don't want to spend your time doing what's wrong. There's a penalty when you do that. Secondly, you've got to value time, or you've got to spend your time, because I've lived now 66 years, and I've never seen a day that's repeated itself. It just keeps going. Just keeps going. Third thing we've got to pay attention to is value. How do you assign value? And what I've learned from experience is there are people that they have these little signs, I love my dog, and they really hate their neighbor. You've got to set some priorities over your life. As a matter of fact, the other day I heard something about a cat cafe. What? Value. Value. How you treat people. How you go about your life will indicate what you value. And then lastly, we want to talk about possibilities. Possibilities. I'm putting that in the form today of what we call opportunities, because every one of us, you have been given opportunities. You cannot say, God gave me no opportunities. God didn't allow things to happen in my life. He did. He did. He brought them my way, and he brought them your way. So let's look at this thing called opportunities, or faith being applied. The book of James says if you have faith and you're just talking about it, those are empty words. Faith without action is dead, because it abides alone. And I believe when you connect this, when you allow these things to be connected, you're looking at what has God brought my way and how have I taken advantage of the things that God has allowed to come my way. Very important, very important. And when you look at this, when you start paying attention to what God is doing, you will find that the reason why you are where you are today is God brought things your way. Number one, let's settle this. God already loves you, so you don't have to do anything to get him to love you. He already loves you. It's already, matter of fact, before you were born, God loved you. Now, I know some of you probably feeling today, I don't feel love. It's not about your feeling. It's about the truth. God loves you. You need to start telling yourself, God loves me, and through his love, I'm going to go on with my life, and I am going to love other people, even if they don't like it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to love you if you don't like it. So how do we take advantage of these God opportunities? And I'll explain a little bit more about what they are. You've got to consider the fact that God loved you so much that he has gifted you. You are a gifted person. You don't possess what somebody else has. And while other people might look at you and they might judge you by the fact of what you do have, just tell them, all right, I'm making it with what I got, because I have this as a gift. Going back to the thing of value. Whatever God gives you, you got to value it. And we value that through our worship. We value that by taking advantage of things that come our way. Are you listening in the building? Yes. All right, so let's look at some things that keeps us from taking advantage of opportunities. How many of you all have seen an opportunity just pass you by? Yeah, okay. So some of the things, if you don't move at the right time, it'll just pass you by. One thing is what I call amusement faith. Here's what we don't understand about faith and how it works. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've seen people who will read the scripture that by faith you can say to this mountain, move and it shall obey you. But the scripture is not telling you move the mountain if God doesn't want you to move it. Amen. So I've seen people stand in front of something and say, okay, God said, and it's amusement faith. It's kind of like when you go to the roller coaster ride and you get up and down and up and down. And certainly God can do extraordinary things, but wake up, stupid. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you stupid. But I've gone to churches where people will go around and try to find demons to cast them out. Is that what God wants us to do? And me, like an idiot, I'm going, yeah, there's a demon somewhere. Did he call you to go look for demons, or did he tell you to preach the gospel? Crossroad is not a circus. We don't stand around and see what kind of miracles happen. Do miracles happen? Yes. Amen. All the time. All the time. But can you make one happen? Absolutely not. You can recognize it when it does happen. Are y'all still in the house? You can get mad at me. I'm still going to preach. Faulty faith based on amusement. I don't come to church for God to get me excited. I'm already excited. I don't wait for the choir to sing me into some attitude. I'm already into an attitude where I want to see God. Amusement faith. Now, it is amazing that what God can do, and I don't want you to think that we just come to church and we sit like a lump on a log. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't get caught up in those things because it will keep you from the priority of real faith. Real faith will show you God. It'll show you the amazing things about your Heavenly Father. You will discover what His plan is. You will know what His will is, and you'll start walking by it. As a matter of fact, you will fall so in love with God that you won't worry about what is or is not happening. All you know is, God's got my hand. Are y'all still in the house? All right, and the second thing is what I call 911 faith, 911 faith. We know what, you know, when you have a problem, dial 911. But don't dial 911 if a skunk is going through your yard. You're abusing the system. Yes, God has allowed struggles to come our way. And I've seen people that the moment they see trouble coming, I'm going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hold up, wait a minute. God may be sending that struggle to make you strong. If there was anybody that should have or could have rebuked the trouble, it would have been Job. Yes, you're going through some bad things. Yes, you cry. Yes, you feel broken and hurt. But in the process, God has got you into this amazing thing of called shaping and molding your life. Look at somebody and say, but when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold, because He's molding me. Some of you are a lot stronger now because of the things you faced. No, God didn't deliver you from it. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I had a thorn in my flesh, and I knew it was from the devil. And God did not deliver me from that storm or from that thorn that was in my side. He left it there, but He told me this: my grace is sufficient for you. So before you pick up your spiritual telephone, hello, God, hello, heaven, hello, Jesus, deliver me. Think about it. God may be using that to mold you in a way that you could never be molded. He may be taking you through that so that you can gain so much strength that anybody else that comes out of that trial, you can tell it because you know you've been there. How many of you all have been there? All right, so let's examine what real faith is. How do we use this real faith that He's talking about? And I think it has to do a lot with these opportunities and these gifts that God gives. God doesn't give you gifts so that they just sit around. Oh, God gave me this. He gave me that. God never gives anything to be put in a warehouse or in your storage bin. Whatever He gives you is just a matter of time before He wants you to use it. Are y'all still with me? What does Romans 12:3 say? For I say, through the grace given unto me. First, Paul is looking at the gift that he has received from God. He said, now I'm telling you something based on the fact I know how God can give you things. He says, for everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't hot dog in the end zone when God gives you a gift, because sooner or later, He's going to give you something to use that gift for. And he ought to say that he may not think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly. To think with the awareness that now I have to know how to use this. According as God has distributed to everyone. Look at the word everyone. Everyone has been given something by Almighty God. He did not send you to this earth empty-handed. How do these gifts come? They come through Jesus Christ. People say, well, I can get it through Muhammad, or I can get it through. No, you can't. You will get a religion, but in Christ you get a relationship. And you get to know the amazing God who made you, this amazing God who... Now, do we hate Buddhists? No. We want them to have the same gift that we have, right? You don't hate people. You love them to Jesus. So when we understand that we've been given this gift or a measure according to the measure of faith that God gives them, you got to understand also that not everyone has the same gift. So don't get jealous, because you might not have the gift of someone else. Because if you use yours right, you won't have time to get jealous of anybody else. Now listen to what this. Listen what this is. This thing called, in the Greek they call it Zoe. The abundant life of God. And the Greeks were trying to describe it. You know, they had these heroes like Hercules, and they had all these other mythological heroes. They wanted you to think that you could become something that man could never make you. But now here's this amazing God. You say, why should I believe in Jesus? Because this amazing God wants you to experience not just natural life, but his life. He wants to pour his life into you, so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to say this to yourself. I'm gifted with life. Some of you are not convinced. I'm gifted with life. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself and realize what God has given you. If I'm gifted with life, then that means this life is now in me, and God wants me to live it according to his glory. He doesn't want me struggling in my faith. Can I believe him? He wants me to have that blessed assurance that I know who I belong to. Regardless of what happens in life, God wants me to honor him. Are we all there? So if we got that, now listen to what I'm saying. God's going to send some things your way, but you got to be aware of the worldly lies that he will tell you. That things that the devil, he's deception. Don't believe all these movies and that'll tell you that, oh, he's going to take over the world. No, he's not. He's already been kicked out of his authority. Didn't you read your Bible? When Jesus rose again from the grave, he took the keys from hell and the devil and said, I'll be back. I'll be back. He defeated those things. Now, what are the worldly lies? Here are the worldly lies. The world will give you what God will not. The world's got it. Well, wait a minute. Either God's got it, or you're thinking that the world, but God's been holding out on me. Has he? That's a lie they told Adam and Eve, right? God's holding out on you. Some of the young people, here they go out into the world. They're going to be cruising, and they're going to try to get everything that's in the world. And the world says, I'll give you what God won't. And so you take advantage of opportunities that the world has, and it's false advertisement. Amen. That's right. Second lie that the world tells us is that you'll be happy. Now, let me get this right. So I'm going to be happy with a lie, and the lie is still temporary. So I'm going to wake up, and I'm supposed to be happy after I get everything that the world has to offer me. Jesus put it to you this way. What would it gain you if you had all the world and lose your soul? We learned one thing by studying time, is that time has a limit. The same God that says time begin. The same God says time end. And somewhere in between that is your dash. What is your dash, preacher? That's the date you were born and the date you will die. You didn't have anything to do with the day you were born, nor will you have any control over the day you die. The only thing that is in your hands and in my hands is this thing called that little dash. And you better get it while you can, because the dash is shorter than you think it is. So I can use my opportunity to go out and I'm going to try to be happy. I pity the people that their main quest in life is to be happy. I don't want to just be happy. Yeah, I want to be able to enjoy life, but I learn who's got the joy. So I'm not going to waste my time trying to be happy if I know who's got the joy, right? And the third lie is that you have plenty of time. Plenty of time. Demons got to talking about how they could get man deceived, and one demon stood up and said, well, I'll just tell them there's no God. And the devil said, no, that's not going to work. You look at the people that do believe there is a God, and their lives are changed. We got to come up with a better lie. And then the demon said, well, we can try to give them a whole lot of things. Well, look at the people that don't have things, and yet they still have this joy. Then one demon came up and said, I'll tell you how I'll get them deceived. I'll tell them they got plenty of time. And the devil said, go at it. That's where you and I have to recognize that our times are in God's hand. And you got to use your opportunities for the glory of God. So we're ready to unpack this? Ready to find out what your opportunity is? I want you going out here today so excited and so filled with joy that you want to love God more and serve him better because you know what an opportunity is. So here's how you make the connection. Number one, you got to understand that you're in the body of Christ, that you're in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a functioning organism. It's alive. And what does it say in Romans 12:4, we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same office. You say, well, I knew that. And it says also assignment. I did some study on that, and you have to also look at it as part of your assignment, which means I need to do what I'm told. Are you still with me? Church problems come when people don't know what they have been told. Amen. Which means before you pop up and say, ooh, I got a good idea. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Because the same way that God can tell you, here's an opportunity, the devil can tell you, here's an opportunity. See, it looks nice, doesn't it? You know you want, huh? Are y'all in the house? So Romans says, know your part in the body. Let me put this in the framework here. If you're in the body of Christ and your position is to bring pain to other people, that would be a good indication that you're not in the body. The gift of the Holy Spirit will tell you, here's what God wants me to do. Here's what he's laid on my heart. I've been to his word and it confirmed that this is where God wants me. This is what I'm going to do. If it means me being the eye or the toe, yeah, you read, look at the fact of big toe. You better respect your big toe. In the Old Testament, they had this thing, and Brother Rufus, that where the priest would have to anoint his big toe. Why in the world would somebody want to anoint a big toe? Goodness gracious. Try walking without a big toe. And God wanted his priest to walk right. So they would anoint the big toe on the right foot. Man, that's got another sermon for another time. But look at somebody, tell him, preacher ain't going to preach that today. He's not going to preach that today. Big toe. That's a good sermon. But God says, no matter what position you have, it's important. It's important. We don't all do the same thing. Last Sunday, we had the people that served in the church to come gather around, and we had prayer. And what an anointing to have all of these people who've dedicated themselves to the service of this church. You get to see me, and you get to hear me rant and rave, but these other folk, they get the work done, all right? I mean, I do my part, but they are all a part of this body. Second thing you got to understand is that you are unique. You don't have the same gift that somebody else has. You have the gift of Christ, and you are members in his body. For as the body, look at it, for as the body is one and has many members, and all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You bring a sense of uniqueness. Crossroad would not be complete without you. That's why we want you to be a part of it. We can't do this mission without having you on board. And when you're on board, we're all the better. Amen? Amen? So let's give yourselves a hand. God is good. You say, preacher, why are you telling us this? Why are you saying these things to us? Because you're going to run into struggles. You're going to run into opposition. As we think about this and how opportunity knocks, number one, use the gift. Amen. Use the gift. The Bible talks about this, these servants, three servants. And the master had given to these servants a certain amount. He gave one 5 talents. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but let me break it down to you. One of the versions of the Bible I read, it says bag of gold. How many of y'all could use a bag of gold? By the way, I asked God, I said, God, you're still giving out bags of gold? He said, no, I'm giving gifts. Okay, all right, so. Gave one servant 5 bags of gold into the millions of dollars. Because gold by the ounce is about $1,100, somewhere $1,200 per ounce, and you add it up. Man, they were rich. One was given 5, and with the 5 he had, he went out, and he got 5 more bags of gold. So when his master came back, he had 10 bags of gold. He said, Master, you gave me 5, I got 10. Man, hot dog, that's all right, right? One that had the 2, he went out and he traded it, worked with it, and he came back with 2 others. He said, Master, you gave me 2. But notice something. It's not fair. How come the guy got 5? And all of them did get 5. Just to make this short, touch somebody and say, you can't handle 5. He doesn't give you the same gift. It's what you can handle. Because you go back and read the text, it says, according to their ability. One with the 2 came back, and to each one that had the 5, and one had the 2 bags of gold, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Because you've done that. One that had the 1 gift, he comes with his bag of gold. The bag, you know, he hid it in the dirt, so it's got dirt all on it, and he happened to clean it off. Hey, Master, you gave me this 1 bag of gold. I'm giving it back to you because I knew that you were a hard and stern man. And the master said to him, if you knew that, you wicked and lazy servant, why didn't you go to the exchanges? Why didn't you take advantage? Why didn't you use the opportunity? And then he said, depart from me, you cursed of my father, into eternal darkness. And he could have used it, but he got distracted. Are you getting distracted by life? It's keeping you from using what God has given you. Use the gift. Secondly, share with others. Share with other people. When you recognize God's blessing, I don't know whether you get the same one I get, but it's so much. Now, I know you got, you know, these solicitors that's calling you. Don't pay them any attention. Just forget about them. God's going to show you people. And Matthew 25 tells you, if you've got gifts, which you brag about, you say, yeah, I'm gifted in Christ. Well, if you got gifts, use it, but know that the opportunity to use it, God's going to send that your way. So in this parable, Jesus talks about these people that are going about their duties, and they notice, let me back up a minute. Jesus prefaces this and say that these are nations, nationalities, groups of people, churches, communities, counties, states, governments. And so they're divided up into the sheep and the goat. You can tell a goat from a sheep by their attitude. So the sheep go out and they see the poor, they see the hungry, they see the thirsty, and they start ministering to them. Not knowing the outcome, just doing it because this is what we do. How many of you all have met people and you don't know why, you just wanted to help them? And you did. And Jesus said, or he comes up in the parable, and he says to them, well done. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty and hungry, you came and you ministered to me. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he turned to the goats. The goats. The goats. And he says to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wait a minute. I'm going to be put into the place of the devil and his angels if you don't take advantage of the opportunities. Notice this. It says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, immigrant. That stranger actually goes back to Israel. They were told to treat the stranger as one of your fellow citizens. Go back and read it. And here's this nation says, we don't want immigrants. It's not a political statement. This is a biblical statement. Either we're going to do what the Bible says or we're not going to do it. And he says to them, depart from me. Funny thing is, just about all the folks here except the Native Americans are immigrants. Of course, we came here not according to our will. We got to ride in the lower deck, all right? Which means we must be pretty strong, right? We're having Black History Month. For those slaves to survive months under that ship in a space about like this, and for them to make it, and for us to be their descendants, man, you're talking about strong. Now, of course, my descendants weren't that tall, so they didn't have a problem with the little short space. But we made it. Here's what I want you to do. Stop worrying about where you came from. Think about where you're going, because if they did and they used their opportunities for good, what are you going to do with yours? I got to hurry up and close. I'm out of time. But you got to decide. You're going to use your gifts to help others, or you're going to use your gifts to accumulate more gifts, more things. I looked at my closet this morning, and I had to pick what I wanted to wear. Now, I can remember days where you had to pick. How many of y'all been there? One suit. One pair of dress shoes if you had it. All right, I'm not going back there, but I just want to let you know where you've been. Go on, shout, because you know where the Lord brought you from. My amazing wife told me the other day when we were getting ready to go somewhere, I ain't got nothing to wear. Woo! I went to the closet. I said, honey, either I'm blind. Now, listen, don't y'all say a word about it. We've been blessed. But think about the people who have not. Let's be a blessing to them. Let's share this amazing gift of Christ. Lastly, as we close, people say, well, I don't know whether I can do this because I got all these troubles. Preacher, you don't understand. My life is just one big problem after another. Either you're doing something wrong or God is molding you for something great. Now, if you're doing something wrong, it's just a matter of fact. If you're going through the wrong direction, all you got to do is turn around. It's called repent, all right? All you got to do is turn around. Stop doing what you're doing and just turn around. But if you're doing something right and you're suffering, that means that something good is on the other side of that. Buckle in, because God's going to take you through this. Daniel was a man that feared God. He loved God with all his heart. And they felt like the only way they could get to Daniel was that they had to find something about his faith. If you read anything about the lion's den, you know for a fact that Daniel had obeyed God and he was a government administrator. He was not what we call a preacher. He worked for the government, all right? Even before they shut it down, all right? He worked for the government, all right? And so as his job was, he wanted to do what was right in that capacity. He brought his gift to work with him every day. He made decisions not according to what the king said, but what God said. And Daniel was promoted. Daniel was promoted, and folks got jealous. And they decided, we're going to get him. We're going to pass a law that said it's illegal to call on your God. And what did Daniel do? In chapter 6, verse 10, it said, when he knew the decree had been signed, he opened his windows, fell down on his knees, and turned his face to Jerusalem and called on God as he had in the past. He said, this law didn't bring me to where I am. It was God that raised me up. Daniel used his opportunities. And what did they do? Did they say, okay, well, this applies to nobody. It doesn't apply to Daniel. No, they arrested him, but he was still praying. They brought him to his place where he would be executed, which is the lion's den. But guess what happened when he came to the bottom of the lion's den? The lions checked the menu, and Daniel was not on the menu. You will not be destroyed. You will not be defeated. If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Stand strong. Stand tall. Stand for your opportunities. Take advantage of what God has given you, because what he's given you, the world cannot and will not take it away from you. Say amen if you believe it. Some of you are Daniel, and it's time for you to take advantage of your opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your love and your grace. Help us always to be discerning. Help us to know when our time has come that we might use the opportunity for your glory. We honor you and we thank you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation. There might be someone today. Perhaps you don't know him. And as I said to my kids the other day, you will never meet a greater friend than God Almighty. He doesn't have to be your friend, but he wants to be. He wants you to know him and for you to walk with him. Just ask Enoch. He's got some great things to tell you. And you'll be changed by that walk. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. I'm going to ask you all to stand.